Downtown Wednesday afternoon thing. Rich Kimball, Carrie Haskell here with you, and Bruce Pratt in for another session of Sports Lit 101. What do we got this week, Bruce?
Well, we've done a lot of heavier stuff recently, and I thought it, and not that this is any way lightweight material, but I thought it might be nice to look at some contemporary sports poetry from the from Athlon, the Journal of the Sport Literature Association, from the last two editions, because so much of it's good. Some of it's by people that, like, the first poem I'm going to read is by Michael Begnal, who we had on about a year ago, I think. It's a baseball poem, and these are mostly because I've been reading a lot about how awful fandom has become, and this kind of poetry reminds you of the good reasons to be a fan and why we like sports. So this one by Michael Begnal, who's also quite a very good Irish literature scholar, is called Just Baseball. Grass growing up through the infield dirt, tough, sinewy crabgrass, covering the base path, mound covered over like a Native American burial, outfield a forest of trees, first the ailanthus, then successive waves of oak and tulip trees, bees in the upper leaves, boughs, and down below at the honeysuckle, in the forest at night, I wander with my first baseman's mitt, down ridges and wade through a stream, and in an area where the trees become naturally more spaced out, open and dark, ghostly figures wearing black leather with faces of black air march past me unaware, bearing the orange New York symbol on their brows. And being Michael being a long-suffering Mets fan. But here's one I think a lot of us can probably relate to. By a poet named Robert Cooperman, and it's called Go Play Outside. When my mother caught me reading a book in our apartment, weekend sunlight like sheets of gold, she'd yank it away as if a dog had slobbered all over it and ordered me to play outside. I'd sneak the book with me, and unless the kids needed one more to make even sides, I could read under the tree in the building's front yard, and no one would taunt me with, "What's so great about a book?" and try to play keep away with it. Or only occasionally, if I did join in, mostly chosen last and stuck where I couldn't do much harm, except, of course, I always did, until we got old enough to walk to PS 217 schoolyard for basketball games. Me, somehow, the idiot savant of the concrete courts. Though I still brought a book with me, just in case. and those are both from the newest edition of Athlon, from the fall of 2017-18. And also in here is a short story by Eli Martin. And I'm very proud to say that Eli Martin was a student of mine at the University of Maine. It's a wonderful short story called Marmot Mountain was chosen to be in there. And it's the entire Athlon collections are always really good. This is one of the great bargains. You buy this for $25 a year or whatever you can buy copies for. It's just full of good poetry, fiction, nonfiction. Yeah, there are lots of college professor articles in there. Not lots of them, a few each time that may leave you scratching your head as to why they have to be that complicated. But a lot of good stuff. I'm going to have here two poems by a guy named Henry Hughes. This is from the spring and summer of 2017 issue. Issues in literary journals are often a full year behind, so we won't get the 2019 edition until late in 2020. This is called The College Punter. And we talk about the nexus between sports and literature a lot and using analogies and the like. This just makes me think of every time you use a sports analogy because you can't think of anything else. College Punter, a big boot, booming problems away. He practices every day, the catch, stride, turn, and guiding drop. Last week, offense struggled, another fourth and long in their own end zone. Punt team on the field again. Nervous high snap. He grabbed and kicked. 4 seconds and 44 yards with no return. Nice. After missing a few classes and failing the midterm, he comes to my office. Groin pull, mother in the hospital, now his girlfriend's pregnant. It's just too much. He drops his head. I close the door. Silence. Squinting like an old coach in the 3 o'clock sun, I tell him to make adjustments. Avoid turnovers. Don't punt. Feeling ridiculous. Teaching our kids game analogies, the virtues of hard work and a steady drive, when every player knows fakes and misdirections win a lot of games. I really liked that one a lot. It's also by Michael Hughes. It's called Jogging Around My Old High School Football Field at Night. It's dark and quiet. My thighs jiggle another quarter mile. And every season, my shoulders shrink inside the jerseys of that boy who played right guard with Mud Dog Sweeney at center and Jarhead Jones at tackle. Stadium lights, ballooning knees, broken fingers, concussion. No, he's fine. Coach Casey yelling, suck it up, when we're down by two but marching. My wife won't let our son play football. Brain injury, a 15-year-old, are you crazy? I don't argue. Black tracks streams below the final rib-stitching sprint into the end zone, and with not enough breath to, yeah, a happy brute stomping, sky-fisted, parents bouncing the stands. Fingers laced over my balding head, sweating home along stadium street soft houses, screen-lit fans check fantasy stats and scores, lineups and injuries, who's back in, who's questionable, who's out.
Oh, that is great. Who wrote that?
That is a guy named Henry Hughes.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Yeah, we've got... another one from this one. I wanted to find the one that I think I lost my spot. But I wanted to read two more. This one is by a friend of the show, John B. Lee. It's a little longer, but John B. Lee, he's just one of the best poets I know, and hopefully he'll be back again. It's about his dad and gambling. My dad was always something of a railbird. He loved to play the ponies. More often the sulkies than the riders. Every year it was a week at the Little Brown Jug with his cronies in a car racing for Ohio. One of his friends had lost the farm, three generations of the same family on the land. It was gone to gambling. When I was 7, he taught me craps and euchre for dime a hand. He loved the risk. Some evenings he'd go to bed at sundown and lie in the radio light of the room with a ball game on, lying in the half sleep of those green grass voices, listening for the phone, and when it rang, he'd leap alive. We could hear his belt buckle ringing in its loops, his shoe soles tapping linoleum, until down the lane he ran and off to Windsor, off to London, Ontario, or Detroit. He loved the dusty oval so, the silks and blinkers of the torn ticket crowd. Sometimes we'd go together to the city fairgrounds with footlongs at midnight diners, and the ache of fatigue in my boyhood frame cramped in the front seat between two happy chancers coming home. Once at Dresden Raceway, he bought us a program, then left us with nothing to do but watch him come and go as loss by loss he darkened down like evening in the moth light of the summer night. But here's the story. Concerning what I'd done before the horse took to the track, I perused the pages of the program, picked and circled my selections for all 10 races, and I'd done so by simply guessing, letting my pencil stray to names I liked, numbers I favored. It must have seemed as though in a trance of knowing I had insider knowledge, or I'd overheard some loose talk at the barn, some stable rumors, some corrupt agreement concerning who's to win and who's to lose. For every race, come one, come two, come three, come all through nine, I'd pick the winner. My mother said to Dad, George, you should pay attention to what your son has done. And so he said, give me that damn thing. And finally, after I'd made 9 predictions, he bet my pick and lost. And that's the way of it, it seems. My mother shining a light, my father finally seeing the source of it, as if evening come upon the land within it dimmed.
Wow, that's great.
He's great. Then I thought I'd finish with what I think is the greatest sports poem of all time, and why it's not just that we read sports poems today. This is by the great A.E. Housman, English poet who lived it from 1859 to 1936, and one we've often heard. It's called To an Athlete Dying Young. The time you won your town the race, we cheered you through the marketplace, man and boy, stood cheering by, and home we brought you shoulder high. Today the road all runners come, shoulder high, we bring you home, and set you at your threshold down, townsman of a stiller town. Smart lad to slip betimes away from fields where glory does not stay, and early though the laurel grows, it withers quicker than the rose. Even the shady night has shut, eyes the shady night has shut cannot see the record cut, and silence sounds no worse than cheers after earth has stopped the ears. Now you will not swell the rout of lads that wore their honors out, runners whom renown outran, and the name died before the man. So set before its echoes fade the fleet foot on the sill of shade, and hold to the low lintel up the still defended challenge cup. And round that early laureled head will flock to gaze the strengthless dead, and find unwithered on its curls the garland briefer than a girl's.
Love that.
That's the first time I think I've ever made it through that poem. That it's one of the greats. And when we think about athletics and we think about all the bad stuff we hear these days, a lot of good stuff in poetry.
Absolutely. That was great. Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you, sir.